Welcome to Slice of PI, where we take quick hot takes on the news whenever you feel like it. I'm your host, Matt, and with me is my co-host and Manong, who wears chinelas while smoking cigars, Borge.
Yeah, that's relatively apt. PI nyo, PI nating lahat, Borge, at your service.
Yes, and for this slice, we have a quick but very spicy topic, which is recently there was this piece in Raptor circulating calling the Lenny Robredo campaign as an elitist, you know, saying that claiming it represents only the ABC higher class, especially when, of course, the framing of maybe critics as a like, for example, it's para sa mga mayaman lang si Lenny. You know? And at the same time, the response wasn't that great. Like, I remember in the large Pasiglaban event where everyone went to Pasig City, then sabi nila, hindi kami bayad. But implying within the structure saying that mga bayad lang, mga mahihirap, mga bobo, mga corrupt, etc. So it's this kind of old moral
prejudice
and prejudice. In fact, there is even this one thing where they flaunted, like after the rally, they went to a wild flower. Yeah, which is very fancy. I've eaten there. It's thousands of pesos. It's like not for every day, but yeah. So let's move on to this. No, let's try this. Borge, what do you think about this tagging about Lenny being an elitist in terms of her campaign or the campaign being elitist?
Yeah. I think this is. This is a manifestation of the old, you know, the lingering criticism against Lenny, which is not against her as a person, but against her campaign, and specifically against, you know, the more aggressive members of her campaign. You know, regarding the hindi kami bayad tag, you know, that would have been a great, you know, social media spin if they, you know, they just said that hindi sila bayad. You know, they just base their argument on the fact that napakarami nilang tao dun sa mga rallies. But no, there are some who became viral on social media who flaunted luxuries. Their luxuries, you know, as a proof that di sila bayad. Which is, you know, in the eyes of an ordinary Filipino, flaunting your luxury is it provokes anti-elitist sentiments. Because, you know, end of the day, Filipinos, we are, you know, we have a curious relationship with, you know, luxury and wealth. So yeah. And I think this is a manifestation of elitism as a behavior. So I think that's a nuance that we must take into account.
Right. Okay. So I think before we completely judge Lenny and her campaign to be elitist, let us also, of course, distinguish what does elitism mean? And is this, you know, tag or label justified? Because is what they mean, the person calling her elitist, is she really, does he really mean elitist? Does it match the old definitions? So first, let's ask ourselves, Borge, what is elitism?
As I mentioned earlier on, elitism can be described as a behavior, which is when you feel and assert your superiority over someone else. It can be economic, meaning you flaunt your wealth. It can be political, you flaunt your proximity to power, or it can be intellectual. You flaunt whatever notion of being right is. So
education
degrees, but, you know, basically anchored on what you think is right. So that's intellectual elitism for you. And then you use that to judge other people and look down on them. I think that that's, you know, from our space last night, from our Twitter space last night, one of our guests actually pinned it down. It's about being derogatory. Elitism as a behavior is about being derogatory to others while placing yourself above them. That's elitism as a behavior. But elitism as a structure is this concentration of power and, to an extent, even responsibilities at the hands of fewer and fewer people. Now, so yeah, that's elitism as a structure, as a political structure, economic structure, whatnot.
And in a way, the way sometimes, and this is the argument that you know, we kind of had in the space, but let's repeat that here. In a way, that we're in the elections right now, and we are trying to promote a particular candidate, each our own candidate. But at the same time, implicitly or explicitly, we call the other candidates as lower than our candidate or inferior. based on a certain set of, again, values and preferences. Mm. Ibig sabihin, kung gusto natin ng isang matalino at how do you say this? Mabait, diba? Mm. At babae, or it's like something, the future is female, but it's also a set of values putting that up and putting the other one down. And it is, I think, because they're in the absence of political parties, then we have no choice but to judge the candidates based on their personality, their integrity, etc. Mm. And sometimes, again, this triggers that elitist, elitism, you know, because, hindi kami ganyan, etc. And I think the reverse of that would be, again, Duterte, who used vulgarity to his advantage, who spoke for the, quote-unquote, the non-elites, the masses. Same with Judge Marbinay, Manny Pacquiao, and to a certain extent, Kiko Isko Moreno. So, do you agree with this? Like, the structure, in a way, the way that we have elections, in a way, reinforces that kind of elitism or personality elitism, even.
Yeah, that's correct. But I would like to add one more thing. Personality politics is about, you know, having a close association with your with the candidate that you're supporting. So it's not only about us judging the candidate themselves. You know, at this point, with the case of Lenny's campaign, they're judging Lenny based on her followers. So, and again, it's basically you're projecting your level of personal attachment to the leader with those from the opposing camp.
Right.
So what happened, what happens is you see, you use the activities, the behavior of their supporters as a means to judge the candidate itself.
Yes.
And vice versa. So that the Lenny supporters would eventually let, you know, their judgments of Bongbong spill into their judgments of Bongbong Marcos' supporters.
Yes.
So yan, damay-damay lang. So yeah, it's just an elaboration. I agree with you. Your analysis is correct, but I would like to add that pati yung ordinary voters nadadamay sila sa panghuhusga of their fellow citizens. So it's them, you know, judging each other.
Yeah. In fact, they responded with, especially the recent interview with Bongbong Marcos's wife, you know, the Araneta Marcos, who said that she's from New York, you know, and if she considered a job in government, she said, no, they can't afford me. That is a very, what's the word? It's not elitist. It's like, the word is alta, you know, in the Tagalog.
Alta de ciudad.
Alta de ciudad. Yeah, which is, what do you call that? What's the English word?
High society.
High society.
No. It's... Yeah, it's high society.
Social climbing, yeah? Or
no, let's just say high society. High society.
Okay. And then, of course, minsan tingin ng mga tao, I think part of it is this one. Because elitist means so many things. Another thing is yung pagiging mata pobre. Like, ayaw nila sa mga mahihirap o mga ano. Well, that's why in a way, the vulgar, the masses, you know, the unwashed. You know. So, is what do you think about, like, the elitism is... has so many meanings within that word.
Yeah.
But in fact, is Lenny, is Lenny's campaign all these things? You know, I mean, the way that they introduce with each other, like in a way, it's quits lang, di ba? Parang it's pasa din. So, eh, ganito yung asawa mo, and then the baby, BBM.
Alta de ciudad. I think there's also a distinction between that, and I think Filipinos can excuse alta de ciudad without it being derogatory. But they cannot excuse yung mata pobre. Mata pobre talagang hindi nila ma, hindi masikmura. So, unwashed and, you know, even in Argentina, they had the descamisados, the shirtless ones. Mm. Basically, the supporters of Juan Perón called themselves the shirtless ones. Shirtless, and even in, even in the French Revolution, you have the sans-culottes. So,
the sans-culottes.
The pantless. So, anyway, just a side note. But is Lenny's campaign thoroughly elitist? I think, no, it is not. You know, elitist in terms of behavior, I don't think it is. But the noisiest ones, the more visible ones are. And that is what matters. So I will not generalize and say all Lenny supporters are, you know, elitist. No. They're not. But the loudest ones that they cannot contain, sadly, are the ones. But structurally speaking, is Lenny's campaign elitist? It's in terms of, you know, structure, the concentration of power in economics. For that one, I would have two questions. First, who are Lenny's backers? Who is funding the entire thing?
Yes.
And you need to understand that based on, you know, so again, may make contradiction. You have a grassroots movement supporting her campaign. But on the other hand, she has, you know, old money backers.
Right.
So yeah.
Mm. Although I suppose I want to bring it back to like the original meaning of
behavioral
the focus. The original focus of the piece was he actually cited Batur Kosaka's moral politics. And in a way, it's upholding one set of morals over another and seeing the other as immoral. Like, especially in particular, the way that Lenny and Lenny supporters call, of course, Bombo Marcos and the BBM supporters as deranged or fooled by fake news, uneducated. So therefore, and again, the Kakam Pinks, you know, they would seek out to educate the BBM supporters. So, so at the same time, in the reverse, it's like ganito yung Kakam Pinks, you know, they also have their own set of morals. So, in a way, it's sometimes elitism is simply just upholding your values and in a way attacking and disavowing those that are opposite to it. So my question is elitism necessarily bad when it's simply again reinforcing your own set of morals and values?
No. I think it is not merely reinforcing your values. Okay. It is reinforcing a sense of superiority. I think we need to clarify that. Reinforcing your values at the expense of another value, that's a different issue. That's a more general issue. But elitism is something more specific. So I need to disagree slightly with that. I need to have a qualification. It's not about reinforcing or asserting your values at the expense of another. Mm. It is about asserting your superiority or your supposed superiority or your claimed superiority while you know, degrading dignity of other people.
Right.
That is what elitism is. Is it bad? Yes, because it pits citizens against one another. If if you turn such a logic against, you know, actual elites, then that would be good as far as plebeian politics is concerned. But you know, it is. So again, we need to clarify, it's not only about asserting your values. Okay, it's not only, it's not as general as that. It is something specific. It's about asserting your sense of superiority in whatever line that you have, may it be wealth, may it be power, may it be intelligence, while degrading someone else.
Right. And I think there's also another dimension to it besides, of course, the material or economic wealth. But again, you mentioned like intellectual elitism. In other words, again, valorizing like, we think, therefore, we are pink. That's another part of it. Because they again, people assume that again, people who follow BBM or maybe another candidate are like less educated because they follow fake news. They believe certain things about martial law. Now, while they may have a point in that, you know, again, this highlights again a judgment of the people. Now, of course, we can argue that yes, they are fight against historical revisionism and historical distortion. Why not actually accuse them of being brainwashed? You know, like, in other words, how can we address this kind of intellectual elitism of course, while fighting historical revision without being elitist?
I think that is a very tricky situation. How can you fight historical revisionism without being elitist? And I think that requires a measure of empathy that would accept, you know, the validity of their beliefs, of the other camp's belief, or some of them, or some of the values that they embody. Not really beliefs, because some beliefs are false, which you must try to, but you need to accept the values that they present.
Yes.
But it's shifting your focus away from their intellectual capacity to something that they share with you, and that is powerlessness. Yes. These people hang on to myths about national greatness and about Marcos. Why? Because that's their only sense of, you know, having a grasp or having control over politics. Because in real terms, they're not. They don't have any control over politics.
Yes.
Do you think that's a question that I would like to pose our listeners, mga kakamping. Do you think a quote unquote Marcos apologist would be a Marcos apologist if he or she has, you know, effective political power? So, and again, this elitism is mark of an ancient fear of the mob. So yeah, that's why they're avoiding the issue of powerlessness and instead revert to intelligence, the issue of intelligence, because they're afraid of empowering the mob, whoever the mob is. So I'm not afraid of empowering the mob. So that's the difference between me, and that's why I can avoid elitism. I can combat, we can combat historical revisionism without being elitist, because we see a common condition among citizens.
Well, I think I want to add something to that. Of course, there's a certain powerlessness, and I think the only maybe some people know that they're believing a lie, but again, it's the only way to combat what they think to be the quote unquote EDSA regime. Like they say this weird thing called like 36 years of you had 36 years. Like si Marcos naman, diba? And it's weird. We take it literally. That this is not true. Since, of course, the Liberal Party and the, both the Aquino administrations, and if you count Ramos, they don't equal 36 years. In fact, you have Gloria, you know, and she's not a Dilawan. She is not a part of the quote-unquote. Well, but she is.
She was brought to power by the Dilawan.
Yes. This is a symbolically meaning the EDSA regime. And Gloria, while Trapo and corrupt, is also part of the EDSA regime, whether whether people remember it or not. You know, of course, she is an ally of BBM and Duterte, but she is technically a product of the EDSA regime, EDSA 2. So, of course, again, they feel powerlessness in that aspect. But it's all, instead of like, besides powerlessness, I think there's also one important thing that we should empathize with them, find a common with them. Well, they also want improvement of our country. And I think we sense that when we talk to some Marcos supporters. We don't necessarily say apologists. There's supporters of Marcos. And that I think we should all be able to find that in common. We're all equal. No matter, we may come from different economic classes or from different backgrounds, but the fact that we are all citizens and we all want better Philippines, we should discuss as such and not belittle people. Besides, of course, mutual powerlessness, but also a mutual desire for a better Philippines.
I think that's something that we need to nail in the heads of ordinary citizens. You are all equally powerless. End of the day, you need to accept the fact that you are all equally powerless. We are all equally powerless. We are nothing after the elections, unless we start a massive protest. That's only that's not the only time we will be something. But I would agree with that one. This mutual need for improvement and mutual disempowerment. But we need to go beyond that. So the solution is beyond that one, because it's beyond the conditions that have produced that. Because we are under a defunct liberal democratic regime that focuses on elections. The solution would be beyond that, because those two factors, that mutual powerlessness and mutual, you know, frustrated need for improvement, was caused by the current political system. So it's a matter of, and again, Mangondato got it right. That's why he's a sage-like, sage-like image and figure.
And he's going up in the surveys.
Because he's a sage-like figure and he got the problem right on its head. He nailed it on its head, because you can't do jack shit in the current system. You just can't. But then again, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I mean, of course, elitism could be both conscious and then maybe possibly unintentional and unconscious, because they simply care about, again, their candidates so much. And maybe you can give them benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, be careful in, condemning the supporters of a particular candidate. Not just, of course, Marcos, but there's also a problem between Lenny supporters and Llodi supporters, you know, the left, you know, they're actually been fighting each other. They're actually, technically, I think it was a Llodi supporter that wrote that, saying, calling Lenny an elitist, and she's in a way part of the elite and not, hindi siya uring manggagawa, di ba? Hindi siya, masa, di ba?
And then, you know, that regarding that one, as you mentioned, they care about their candidate so much. And that is, you know, that's the basic defect of our system. You care more about a candidate than your fellow citizen.
Yes.
And you only care about the fellow citizen vis-a-vis your candidate, meaning you want to impose your candidate on your fellow citizen because you care so much about that, you know, that other citizen. Right. You know, the same with the BBM, you know, the BBM logic of disciplina. You only care so much about your fellow citizen if you can discipline them. Hence, you vote for BBM. So, lack of, you know, this obsession with leaders is just amusing. And we're voting for this damn thing. No, you people are. Yeah. I won't.
You're not.
I'm waiting for someone to say that BBM supporters are an accessory to a crime. I'm waiting for someone. I haven't seen that. Someone say that one. Because if they say that, if they say that the BBM supporters are an accessory to a crime, then the BBM supporters would say the Lenin supporters are an accessory to a crime. The logic would only end with non-voters saying that everyone who voted this is the only accessories to a crime.
Yeah. No, I think the words they're using is an enabler of, again, authoritarian, of an addict, of enabler. And that's it. Well, I think that's part of the problem, you know. I mean, it's not as strong and sharply worded as you, but I suppose the effect is still the same, you know, like pointing fingers at each other saying you're a terrible person for voting for this person. Same thing as some BBM supporters are going with Lenny.
Yeah.
Since they believe Lenny is, again, a traitor to Duterte, who's supposed to be the vice president. I think that's a weird thing. They presume that the vice president belongs to the president. That's a weird thing. But again, that's something that we kind of tried to discuss. Like, no, they are, in a way, they serve the country in some, in some ways that they recognize that. But at the same time, if the vice president all of a sudden critiques, like, the president, that automatically means that they are against the country. It's like, again, you're focusing on personalities. So elections are teaching us to empower a certain set of elite actors.
Yeah.
So that's
it's designed to be elitist. It's a structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to be elitist in structure.
I mean, the fact that we have a notion of nuisance candidates is in a way also elitism, you know, saying just because this person doesn't have a party, machinery, war chest, or even a family name. The fact that you say a family name is necessary to go into politics. I mean, even Robredo has based on her family name. She's a candidate based on her family name because her husband, Jesse Robredo, was a politician and in a way inherited his political capital in that sense. So she's still a part of that old family. Old system. Yeah.
To an extent. But again, just to reiterate, elitism as a behavior cannot be separated from elitism as a structure, but these are still two distinct issues. One perpetuates the other. They're interdependent. Elitism as a behavior perpetuates the structures of elite, you know, generation and maintenance.
Yes.
While the maintenance of elites, you know, triggers elitism as a behavior among their supporters. So, but then again, elites are not necessarily bad. You know, I would like to recognize this reality.
Yes.
They're not necessarily bad.
Can you give an example of a good kind of elite?
Yes, Jesse Robredo would be one. Jesse Robredo was basically, he played the trapo politics, but he managed to, you know, release himself from that. And he, you know, pursued democratization at the local level. He's to an extent a local oligarch. But he had proven himself democratic. That's why I said all oligarchs are undemocratic until proven otherwise. And Jesse Robredo, the late Jesse Robredo, would be one example.
Right.
Someone who used, you know, business, his own business, the wealth of his family, you know, just to pursue democratic ends eventually. Another elite that is, you know, again, democratic, Vico Soto would be one example. Inheriting inheriting the political capital behind his last name.
Yes.
So, and he's using that to, you know, promote good governance and also democratization.
Yeah. So, but these are, again, exceptions because elites would normally act on their own interest and to preserve their elite status.
Yeah.
For yeah, but these are that's why it's so exceptional that they are able to make that choice for the greater good, which is wonderful. But I suppose again, it's an interesting concept. Like again, elitism can be elites can be good and bad. You know,
elites. Not
yeah, elites.
Elitism is always bad. Yeah, it's always bad because it's different from meritocracy.
Meritocracy. And what is meritocracy?
Meritocracy is again, meritocracy is about setting high standards tied with high responsibilities and high power. So you get power, you get more responsibilities if you have, you're more capable than everyone else.
Yes.
That's a meritocracy.
Results. Yeah.
But, but the meritocracy, when it becomes, you know, when it solidifies, it stops circulating elites. That is when elitism comes in. So, nadi-displace yung standards. So, nadi-displace yung standards. So, basta meron kang pero, meron kang kapangyarihan sa ining, ano, sa ining opisina. Yeah. So, that's elitism. So, meritocracy is a different thing.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I personally believe in a meritocracy. Basically, kung magaling ka, hindi ikaw magiging pinuno.
Yeah.
You know? But the problem is, again, like what you said, if kapag sila lang ang magaling, edi hindi na, na napupunta yung kapangyarihan sa ibang mga magagalaking.
No,
it becomes an elite society.
It becomes an elite society. I know, yeah, it's not only about not letting public offices go to other capable ones. The trickier part is you actually stop the rise of better people. That's a mark of merit. That's a meritocracy. What keeps a meritocracy alive is circulation of elites. So if you're good, if you're capable, you have the office. But if you fail, you go away. You let someone else. That you know, circulation. Mm-hmm. We need to keep. Ideally, elections is supposed to, you know, keep the circulation alive. Ideally, but then again, elections is, you know, bleh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think we should revisit this topic because of elites, elitism, oligarchy. You know, these are very big concepts that we deserve to revisit.
Yeah.
But we partially explore them here and now, relating to, again, the elitism of the Letting Your Better campaign, which to an extent, it's not at its core elitist, but it does have elitist elements and characteristics. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So it is a word of caution, and it is a valid criticism. But again, elitism comes from a larger thing, which is the structure. In fact, one can argue that the election itself highlights elitism. It promotes elitism. Yeah. And I think we can also we'll make a link to not only the original piece. So in case of those who haven't read it, can read it. At the same time, another piece written much earlier by our colleague, Mr. Zal Pintia, talking about, again, elitism in the Philippine elections. He, in a way, explains this far more comprehensively and concisely than we did. But yeah, so again, and look out for other new content that we are going to release, especially when we're exploring, and we have been exploring, spaces. So pretty soon we will start creating our own PI podcast Twitter account.
We'll start
as well as and PI podcast spaces. So for the other spaces, we had two spaces without the PI podcast brand, but pretty soon we'll have PI podcast spaces, PI spaces. So anything else before we move on?
Yeah, that's it. I think we will tackle elitism eventually soon in much larger context. But I think this would suffice for now. Is it too late for the Lenny campaign to remove the stains of elitism? I think it is.
Oh boy.
They should have done this last year.
Oh boy. Okay.
They should have reined in the, you know, the luxury flaunting members, the loud derogatory members. They should have reined them in last year, but too bad. The label is stuck.
Oh, wait, what about the BBM camp? Are they also in their own way elitist?
I think they are anti-elite.
They are anti-elite.
I think they're anti-elite. But their insults against Lenny, you know, Lenny Lugaw, I think to an extent marks a level of elitism, but not at the same derogatory level as Lenny supporters against BBM supporters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not against BBM, but against BBM supporters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, problem.
BBM is an elite. in his own right. Yeah, definitely. And he is an elite.
Yeah.
But yeah. But it's this elite versus the entire system of elite, which is a part of the Marcos mythos. You know, it's Marcos versus the elites and oligarchy. yeah. So anyway, so we'll continue this another time. But of course, thank you for this, for listening to this slice. Please continue to support the podcast. It can be found on Spotify, Anchor, and YouTube and Facebook. Please follow us also there. And you may send us an email with regards to your suggestions, comments, and maybe messages at piapodcastph@gmail.com. But until the next episode,
magandang gabi, mga kapiyan.